Welcome in to Buff Stampede Radio, our first of many spring ball preview episodes. David from David Talks Buffs is joining us first here. First off, tell everybody about kind of your history. We went over that on the previous episode, but maybe some new listeners to your voice. What brought you and made you passionate about CU football?
Perfect. Yeah, well, I was born and raised a Colorado sports fan, even though I didn't grow up in Colorado. But really, my fanhood took another step when I came to CU in 2018 for graduate school. So I spent a couple of years here getting my MBA. And since then, I mean, I've loved going to the games, following the team, still live here, out here locally. And of course, when Coach Prime came here, along with being on some medical leave from work, it kind of inspired me to go ahead and start a channel talking about the Buffs, and been going for about a year now, Adam, and it's had a lot of success, and I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you on. We did videos pre-Coach Prime. They didn't get the views that they do now. It is really crazy, the amount of content that's out there, and there's good quality stuff on YouTube. Sometimes you got to kind of sift through a few channels, but I enjoy the coverage that you provide for the program. With that said, I'm curious. We've seen some players moving positions. They're going to have Carter Stottmeyer at safety, Savelle Smalls at tight end. A couple other guys are moving spots, and Trevor Woods, it sounds like, is going to be at linebacker. What intrigues you the most in terms of some of this personnel movement we've seen this offseason?
Yeah, one other guy that I really like and I'm excited to hopefully see on the field this year is Morgan Pearson. Guy that has been in the program for a year now, I think was – more so planning to be an inside linebacker, but after talking with Corey Phillips, made the switch over to the tight end room, and somebody who has a lot of receiving experience from playing in high school. And we need bodies in that tight end room right now. Some guys that hopefully can stretch the field and cause some headaches for the defense. I'm excited to see how he makes that transition. I think along with Savelle Smalls, I know his high school tape is many years old now, but his high school tape up in Washington was some of the most exciting that I feel like I've looked at. And you wonder, can he kind of recapture some of that magic that he had earlier on in his career, and just being somebody that, again, defenses have to account for. We need some bodies like that in the tight end room that they're not going to give much of a cue of, hey, we're passing, or hey, we're running. Hopefully we got some guys that are a little bit more well-rounded that give Pat Shurmur and Shedeur Sanders some more options from that position group. So I'm excited for Morgan Pearson, as well as Carter Stoutmeyer. I thought he was one of the best young tacklers we had on the team. I think he's already got that safety size. So to me, it makes sense that he would move over into that safety position. And I think he'll compete for snaps.
Yeah, and beyond guys that are trying out new positions, it's going to be interesting to see what technique all these new defensive linemen are playing and who's on the edge, who's playing with their hand in the ground. And then I think offensively, you said they need bodies at tight end. Yeah. What is that tight end position going to look like in Pat Shurmur's offense? Obviously, you couldn't take a whole lot from what they did offensively with him calling the plays last year. That was not his offense, and it's been a long time since he called a college offense. What does that look like? But it does sound like they're going to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah.
That's something that Shedeur Sanders has made it clear that he wants guys to get it right and not to be guessing whether or not the guys next to him know their job and are going to do it properly. So that's going to be fun to see this spring, just exactly how that tight end position looks two new schemes now on offense and defense.
Yes. Something that I think Shedeur is no stranger to when it comes to learning some new offenses. But I think he'll adjust fine. I think a tight end that Pat Shurmur, I hope, really ends up liking their game is Luis Passarello. I know we didn't get to see him much this past year, but I think he can do some things that Pat Shurmur will like to incorporate into the game. But, yeah, hopefully we have tight ends that are utilized in a way in which can really help set up and establish a run game, because that has to be a priority going into 2024. What do you think about that, Adam?
Well, Luis Passarello would be a great story, because I'll be honest, had you gone into spring ball and looked over the roster, he would be one of the first names you go, I think he's going to be in the portal pretty quick. Okay. Because he just hadn't gotten on the field, was a really lightly recruited player out of high school. And he was one of the first guys that earned his number last spring. And I remember the CU football account had put out a picture of new players that had gotten a couple numbers. And we were waiting for post-practice interviews, and we're all trying to figure out who this tight end is. And I'm thinking, that can't be Lewis Passarella, got his number already. But credit to him. You know, he stepped up to the challenge. Unfortunately, then he got hurt with his knee injury. But yeah, if he can come back and be part of the mix, then all of a sudden maybe you don't have to go to the transfer portal and make tight end a priority if a Savelle Smalls and a Lewis Passarella or even, like you said, Morgan Pearson step up there, because you might need that, you know, those scholarships for other spots as well.
Most definitely. And I think, too, I know we haven't talked yet about Shimon Mateer, but he's somebody else that I'm very excited about. I think that he'll be able to be utilized in the pass game, I think, more so than in some different ways than Mikey Harrison was used. He's a bigger body. He can be physical kind of off the snap. And so I think you might see Pat Shurmur. I did a video on this a little while ago. Might utilize him and trying to help set up some pick plays, get some other guys free pretty easily. And, I'm excited to see how Shimon Mateer makes his transition to this Pat Shurmur offense, because I think he's an underrated weapon that we have. We got a lot of other guys coming here that are talked about a lot, but right now the tight end room isn't getting a lot of attention. I understand why, but I hope that they can exceed expectations this year.
I mentioned this is the first of a number of spring ball previews, and we are just now joined in the boardroom by Mr. William Gardner. Yes. We've got Sean Niehoff in the building, and Chase Howell as well, and they're off camera just hanging out right now.
The Louie has arrived.
So we'll get into to a lot more topics with you, David. I also wanted to look at the drastic difference that we've seen from where this program was a year ago to where it is now. And how much does that allow you to get more done during spring ball when you're not having to evaluate in the same way? I mean, they were trying to figure out who can help us win, and now they know, and they've brought in other guys, and there's still an evaluation component to that, but just so much more solidified, even with the coaches just being comfortable with their surroundings here in Boulder.
It's absolutely massive, because now, we have a full year of data to look at and say, hey, these are the positions that we really need to focus on in terms of recruiting or in the portal with development. I think that, you're never going to get every single hire and transfer portal addition right when we're talking about 100 plus people, pretty much. There's going to be turnover, there's going to be churn and stuff like that, but you have way better of a foundation now. And I think one thing that's not really talked about a lot in the locker room is that not everybody now is the new guy. This is so important in terms of establishing a right leadership crew or a ladder. You got guys that have been here that have been through it now, and that type of leadership and experience is really important, especially when we're going to a new conference in the Big 12. We're making a big transition, and it's going to be very important to have players here that have experienced what we went through this past year, and that they're going to be able to help set the expectation of how you continue to go from 1-11 to now 4 wins to hopefully many more this year.
We know Shadur is going to be QB1.
Yeah.
Who do you expect that first rep of spring ball to be out there at running back, receiver, and tight end? And keep in mind, Will Shepard's not going to be on campus.
Right.
Cordell Russell not on campus till this summer. So a couple guys won't get here till May. But of the guys that will be here on campus, LaJonte Wester being one of them, how do you see that first team offense looking day one of spring ball?
Yeah, this has been a big debate on my channel, especially with the slot receiver position. Yeah. You know, how does that whole thing shake out? But I think right now, granted, I'm not a football coach, so maybe there's a different philosophy here, but I would give those first snaps on the first team to the guys who have been a part of this last team that were solidified starters. I still think Jimmy Horn starts the season or spring ball as that starting slot. along with Dylan Edwards, with taking probably the first running back snaps. But Alton McCaskill, LaJonte Wester, I think it's very clear that they're going to be big time parts of this offense this year. And so it wouldn't shock me by the time we're getting around to spring game if we, you know, if we see those guys take over at starting for those positions. But I think like right now, you got to give credit to the guys who are taking the majority of the snaps this past year. What do you think about that?
And I'm assuming Travis Hunter is one of
those. Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. Travis, no doubt. Along with, I guess, with Will being out here, hopefully we see a lot of Omari Miller this spring practice as well. Yeah. He was somebody that I was hoping we would have seen a lot more of as the season went on. But hopefully this is his time to really establish himself as one of those main guys in the receiver rotation this year.
In tight end, Shimon Mateo, mm-hmm. probably yeah. mm-hmm. your top guy yes. there. What position battle intrigues you most going into spring ball?
Right now, this is something that I talked a little bit about today, right tackle. I think Savion played the majority of the season, you know, on that bum ankle, and we got Khalil Benson coming in from Indiana. I think that this battle, I think it is going to be a battle. I don't think Savion has this job locked up, nor do I think Khalil Benson comes in here as, you know, an immediate – day one shoe-in starter. I think that you know, they both have their strengths and areas of improvement, and I think really the guy who ends up starting you know, for this spring game and probably later on in the season, it's going to be who's able to round out their game a little bit better, a little bit more. Really interested to see how Coach Oldholt works with these guys at the tackle, at the tackle position. But right tackle, I know a lot of people want to talk about center because that could be a three-horse race right mm-hmm. now, but really interested to see who ends up starting at right tackle because, I would still count Savion in on that race.
You know, had he not come back from that ankle injury last year, I think people would be talking a little bit differently about Savion Washington right now because he was pretty solid. He wasn't perfect by any stretch early in the season, but you know, he was playing at the level you need a right tackle at the Pac-12. Then he rolls his ankle. Mm-hmm. When he came back, he was struggling. Yeah. And then you look to like a UCLA game, it's like, well, you just want to fire the whole bunch just because it looks that bad, right? But then you assess what Savion Washington was doing, basically playing with one leg out there. And he was somebody that Coach Prime was really high on when he was speaking with the media last year. So I think you're right. I would not be surprised at all if he's the starting guy. And that was one of the – we did our way too early depth chart predictions. And that was one that I thought maybe throwing a wild card in there just because it maybe is a more of a sleeper pick that you know, this is the guy that started last year.
Yeah. Right now, if you're asking me to make a pick, I'll put a little bit of money on Savion. I just okay. – yeah. I want to see him continue to develop and improve, but – I just remember, when did he roll his ankle? It must have been week three or week four.
It was 4 or 5, I think.
Okay, something like that. I just remember the talk around everybody on, you know, on the internet, on Twitter, everything like that was, we just lost our best offensive line. Now, I know we didn't have a very good offensive line at all last year, but I do agree with you that, you know, if he never even tried to play hurt, I think there would be a different narrative around him coming into 2024.
Do you have a sleeper on the roster for spring ball?
Oh, this is a good question. I guess, I don't know if people would count this as a sleeper, but somebody that I'm really hoping to see take a jump this year is Arden Walker, somebody in that edge room. I know we brought in a lot more edge talent with BJ Green, Samuel Okunloa. We got Keaton Wade. But, I think Arden Walker, he was one of those guys on the defense that I thought was one of our more improved players throughout the portion of last season. And he's somebody that I think is going to be there competing for substantial snaps this year. And, I would like to see him continue to take a jump in his game, along with Omari McNeil.
And you mentioned Omari Miller on offense as well. That's a guy that pre-prime – Colorado's not even going to go to the portal and get a Will Shepard or a LaJonte Wester. Yeah. Everybody, the whole offseason, is going to be freaking out about Omari Miller and what he did in the second half against USC and how he's going to be their stud, one of their studs at receiver, because there's so much talent coming into Boulder nowadays. Right. Somebody like that gets overshadowed at times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am pumped about Omari Miller because I think everything sets up really well for him to be one of the main weapons on offense here in 2025, looking ahead a little bit more, but I know we have brought in a lot of experience with Will Shepard, LaJonte Wester into the room, but with Omarion Miller, I think he has, you know, the physical archetype, obviously, to really succeed at this level. And who am I to say what his ceiling is this year? Maybe he surprises us and really becomes one of those main focal points of the offense. He has the potential to do it. And right now, I'm hoping to just see him take another a nice other step this year towards being like one of those main weapons in 25.
You mentioned that you were around here before Coach Prime. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite pre-Coach Prime era memory?
Oh, man. I think right now, it has to be both of those Nebraska games in 2018 and 2019. They were fantastic. Obviously, it had been many years since we had played Nebraska, and it was fantastic to be a student here when those games were going on. Both comebacks. I think we've talked about this play before with the flea flicker call on the 1 yard line to Katie Nixon. Just an insane way to open up that drive and sparked a comeback win for the Buffs. Was that the – I'm trying to remember. Was that the game in 2019 where Mel Tucker was wearing the khaki shorts?
Well, he wore shorts at Arizona State. You guys remember there was the Mel Tucker game at Arizona State. I remember he wore shorts. And we asked him about it afterwards, and he said, it's 95 degrees. That's why I'm wearing shorts. But it became like a big deal. Yeah, there might have been some other games that he was wearing shorts as well.
There was one cold weather.
Okay.
One cold weather game, yeah. That's what William Sandy wore him as. So, yeah, like those games against Nebraska were great, and it was a perfect way as coming in here, like as a student, having followed the team prior, but coming here, you're wanting to have something that just – like those moments that feel more personal to you. And I think for me, both of those Nebraska victories with – I mean, LaViska Shenault playing a huge role in both of those, probably the best Buff we've had come out in quite a while. Make those plays in crunch time. Those have to be my favorite moments. But what about you? I'm curious. What's your favorite pre-prime moment?
I would probably have to go back to 2016 and clinching the Pac-12 South over Utah. Just to go from preseason being picked last in the conference to winning your division. And that team was such an easy team to root for with Philip Lindsay and Sefo Lufau, guys that did things the right way. Chido Bea-Wuzie, one of the most freak athletes I've covered at CU. The guy could do like a standing backflip without even like moving, like jump running into it. He's just an incredible athlete. And that team was a lot of fun to cover. And certainly what happened in the Pac-12 championship game and the Alamo Bowl wasn't great. But at that moment when they had clinched the South, that's probably the best moment covering this team.
And I think you can still go watch the whole video series covering that year on the Buffs YouTube channel. Kind of, obviously, it's not to the level of detail or hours that you'll see with Well Off Media and Reach the People or anything like that. But that if you guys haven't watched that, I forget what they coined the series that year.
The Rise.
That's right. Yeah, I loved watching that, and I wish it had worked out for Mike McIntyre, man. Yeah. I feel like if maybe some things had changed with the academic restrictions and maybe had a little bit more support, you would have seen him get it done here. But
that year they had two really good defensive coordinators basically on staff with Jim Levitt and Joe Tumpkin. Mm-hmm. And all the focus is on Levitt going to Oregon, but the whole Tumpkin saga, like, that really set things back a little bit as well. But and they were such a senior-laden team in 2016. Yeah. And so when things evolved away from what Mike McIntyre was really successful was doing these satellite camps, finding under-the-radar recruits, well, then everybody started doing the satellite camps. And so there weren't as many hidden gems out there for him to uncover. And then, I think he's more of a program builder than the guy that's going to take them to the next step, I think most people expect that to happen with Coach Prime this year.
Yes, no doubt. Hopefully we get a great year continuing to improve. I mean, that's just all I want. You know, I would love to see us in a bowl game and everything like that. But I think, Adam, the way too early record stuff, I think the floor for this team, it's got to at least be another three-game improvement. That's how I see it, right? So let's get ourselves to a bowl game, and everything on top of that is gravy. That's how I see it.
Awesome, David. How can people find you and connect with your content?
Yeah, you can follow me at David Talks Buffs on X on Twitter. You can follow me on David Talks Buffs on YouTube and Spotify as well. And hey, if you like Broncos, I'm starting to get a little Broncos channel going as well. So David Talks Broncos.
Okay.
Just search that if you're wanting some. We're on our way to 500 subs over there. So,
awesome. Very cool. Well, I appreciate you, David. That was the first of 4 spring ball previews. Up next, we're going to have Chase Howell join Buff Stampede Radio.